Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. I'm Kim Carson. Today, my conversation is with Mark Davidson. He's the author of the book, Daniel Revisited, Discovering the Four Mideast Signs Leading to the Antichrist. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kim.
You know, I got to tell you, it's a Zondervan book, and Zondervan's based right here in Grand Rapids. That's their home base.
I believe it's Thomas Nelson.
Thomas Nelson Zondervan book. That's the that's the entire marketer. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I wanted to ask you, so in your book, Daniel Revisited, you really want people kind of to be able to connect the dots in their mind and realize and discover what?
That the old way of looking at the end times is incorrect, that the rapture is not the next event, not because it's post-trib or mid-trib versus pre-trib, but what we've missed in Daniel is that there are going to be four sets of events prior to the rapture or the tribulation, and that these events, as they carry along, will make the world and the, you know, the economy worse and worse. And so instead of panicking or being anxious, these are supposed to be the signs that tell us that Christ is coming.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. We need to prepare. We'll have several years where we need to prepare materially. We need to show this to fence sitters in the church to get them on their knees to repent, and also as a witness to the lost.
So, Mark, what's your background?
Well, I'm an engineer, a systems engineer in aerospace engineering. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do for a living. But I've been a Christian most of my life and have gone to various churches and was raised on the Hal Lindsey School of Theology, the late great Planet Earth and so forth. And I felt like I was missing something. I felt like when 9/11 occurred, the Middle East seems to be exploding in all this activity and they're flying planes into our buildings, and yet the old scenario of Russia and Europe and all that just nothing seems to be happening. So I just asked the Lord for wisdom, and he put me on a path of research.
So, I mean, when did you start writing this book? I mean, what was the catalyst for it?
Well, the catalyst, again, was 9/11. That was for the research itself. But what I discovered of these four signposts is that, you know, first of all, the first signpost, and I discovered these way back in 2003, that Iraq's government had to change. That's what it came down to, the interpretation of Daniel 7 and 8, and that George W. Bush was just announcing that they were going to go in and remove Saddam Hussein and change the government. So I thought, hey, I'm onto something. But then I was looking at the second signpost, the next thing that was supposed to happen, and that was Iran invading the Middle East and cutting off the oil, and the horsemen are also involved with these four beasts in Daniel 7. And so
What are the horsemen?
The horsemen of Revelation 6, you know, the first horseman is white.
Yeah, I mean, what do they represent something?
Yeah, they represent the beginnings or the conditions of each of these four signposts. Each of the four beasts in Daniel 7 is related to each of the four horsemen.
Now, do we know, like from the Bible, do we know with those kind of the terminology that's used, do we know what countries are going to be involved in this?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. This is an extraordinary breakthrough. Daniel 7, there are seven heads on four beasts, and it's reflected again in Revelation 12, where all the beasts come together to form one beast. And that beast, again, is a reflection of the great giant seven-headed dragon in Daniel 12. And so basically what it comes down to is the heads of the beasts, the countries involved today, are the modern end-time versions of the ancient kingdoms and empires that tried to destroy Israel. So the nations today that will be involved are nations like Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey. Iraq was the first head, the lion with wings that was forced to stand and its mind was changed. We did that. And then the second one is the bear that's going to be told to get up and eat much flesh, which is related to the second horseman, where he starts war in earnest. This is going to be a tremendous war. It's going to be a great Sunni-Shia war that'll be on the same par as World War One, I believe, in scope, in size, and the number of people involved. And it will take peace from the whole earth. Peace as in peace of mind, stability. If you cut off, for instance, if they conquer the oil regions, that's one quarter of the world's oil supply cut off. I don't know if you remember or if you were around what happened back in the 70s, 73 and 79, when we lost 6% of our oil supply. Prices doubled and then doubled again, and there were lines around the block.
I remember.
Gasoline.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a 25% cutoff in the oil supply to the world. So it'll be much worse. What will happen? We don't know. But the hint from the Bible is that peace, eirene is the Greek word, will be taken from the earth, the whole earth. The Red Horseman will be allowed to start war in a quarter of the earth, it says in Revelation 6, but he takes peace from the whole earth. And so that was why, to answer your question, why I decided to write the book. I needed to warn the church. I needed to tell the church that this next great event is going to be a horrible event. Yes, Iran's going to invade the entire Middle East, that this would affect the whole world, affect the economy of the United States. And so I realized that instead of people, you know, panicking, the church not knowing what's going on, that the word had to get out.
You go ahead.
Yeah, that this is just the next event in the end times. That Christ, it's a solid, concrete sign that Christ is coming.
And, you know, you mentioned the church. What is the church? Has the church had anything to say about your book?
Not yet. It's only now snowballing. And there's only a couple other authors that have turned to this way of thinking.
You know what I've always wondered? I mean, you've mm-hmm. studied the Bible. What is there a reference, you know, to that 666?
No, I don't get into the tribulation. That's mm-hmm. that's the Antichrist and the tribulation itself. What I've discovered here are these four things occurring prior to the tribulation.
And where are we in that? Tell me what those four things are.
The first one is Iraq's government is going to change. That's all basically the Bible tells us. It's going to be forced to, instead of acting like a lion, which devours prey here and there, like the southwestern province of Iran, you know, in the Iran-Iraq war, how it invaded Kuwait, like a lion, it was forced to act like a civilized man. Its dictatorship was changed to a democracy. Its mind was changed. The second event is Iran is going to run out across the Middle East and conquer the Middle East, spreading its Shia revolution everywhere. The bear in Daniel 7 is told to eat much flesh. The ram in Daniel 8 is told to run out to the north and the west and the south and will get to do all it wants to do. And by the way, I know a lot of people out there will think Daniel 8, but that's about Alexander the Great and the Persian Empire, you know, the Persian ram and the Greek goat. But there are three places in that chapter, verse 17, verse 19, and verse 26, where it says this vision pertains to the end time. So it cannot be an ancient fulfillment. The third signpost is, we are told, with the leopard with the four heads. Those are four nations, four modern Sunni nations, Turkey, Syria, Egypt, and Albania, of all things, will form a Sunni confederacy and take the Middle East back. And again, this is also the goat with a single horn. The leader of Turkey, whoever he may be, forms this confederacy, forms this a tighter than an alliance, takes over the Middle East, invades Iran, destroys the Iranian regime. You know, he stomps on the ram, breaks its horns, and becomes great, becomes very great. One great nation covering the Middle East. And then the fourth signpost is this great nation breaks into four pieces, just like Daniel 8 says. You have four horns arising. And by the way, this is another reason it couldn't be an ancient fulfillment, because when Alexander the Great died, you didn't have four horns arise. You had 25. Mm-hmm. And it was decades of war before it winnowed down to five and then four. So we are looking for an exact fulfillment here, where this one great nation will fall apart into exactly four pieces, a northwestern piece like Turkey and Syria, a southwestern piece like Egypt and Western Arabia, a northeastern piece like Iran, and a southeastern piece, the rest of the Arabian Peninsula. And that during this fourth signpost, when you see these four great nations fractured from the bigger nation, the man who will be Antichrist will take over the leadership of the northwest country and then invade and take the southern country, directly south Egypt, and then to the southeast. And those are the three horns that will be plucked off of the ten-horned beast.
Does the Bible say where the Antichrist will come from?
Yes, I believe so. In Daniel, of course, in Daniel 2:40, where we see the statue, we have the iron legs, and the iron legs can be argued, or actually are overwhelmingly argued, that it's Islam, not Rome. In fact, if you really look at history, it shows it has to be Islam and cannot be Rome. And then in Daniel 9:26, where it talks about the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the temple and the city, you know, which happened in 70 AD, yes, those were Roman soldiers, but that word for people doesn't mean just political, it means ethnic. Like Paul, you know, he was a Roman citizen, that was political, but he claimed, you know, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Jew. That was ethnic. And so history also shows us then that the people, the soldiers that wore the Roman uniform under a Roman banner, they weren't from Italy, and they weren't, most of them weren't even from Europe. They were from Syria, Egypt, and Arabia. In other words, they're Arabs. And today, of course, the Syrians and Egyptians and Arabians are all Arabs, and they're Muslims. So I believe, and I show in my book why, that the Antichrist, I believe, is going to come from the region of Syria or eastern Turkey and is an Arab and will be a Muslim.
Wow. You know, there's so many different things you've talked about in your book that, you know, it's a lot to digest. Okay.
Yes, it is.
And there's some things like I never even heard of. So talk a little bit about this petrodollar that you speak of in the book. Explain what the petrodollar is and what it represents.
Oh, sure. The petrodollar was set up back in the 70s. The dollar was as good as gold from World War II. And in 1971, Nixon closed the gold window, which would cause the dollar to fall in value, because it was no longer backed by gold. So Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon came up with this ingenious plan, really, to work out a deal with the Gulf oil powers, the Gulf oil nations, that they sell all their oil, that's a quarter of the world's oil, in dollars, in U.S. dollars, and we will give them military protection. So by so doing that, then all the world's nations had to accumulate dollars, billions and billions of dollars, so they could use those U.S. dollars to buy oil. It created a false demand for U.S. dollars, keeping the value of the U.S. dollar up. So in that way, I believe it was kind of ingenious, but in a way, it's also rather deceptive, because basically our dollar is not supported by anything but the U.S. petrodollar.
Right.
And so when that goes away, then the U.S. dollar is free to fall, because the nations no longer need dollars for their foreign reserves.
You know, the book, you really got to read the book a couple times over to fully grasp the picture. You know, which you make a valid point there. So is there some kind of timeline on these events?
No, there is no time involved. It's no dates. It's just simply signs. And it's just like one of my readers, by the way, found that he realized that Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus was talking about the signposts when he said, "Do not be deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines, and there will be seismos," not earthquakes, seismos, disasters, destruction. So with those four things, what was the question? I'm sorry.
Is there really a timeline? Yeah.
No, there's no timeline. And where I was going with Matthew 24 is Jesus said, watch. He said, watch, be alert, watch, be prepared, watch, you know. So we are to watch, hey, Iraq happened. We're to watch, Iran's going to invade the Middle East. Turkey and Egypt will take it back. And then the man who will be Antichrist will arise from one of the four nations there in the Middle East that's left over after the great nation falls apart. These are things to watch. I don't know how long they will take. I would think that, you know, well, how long would it take Iran to invade the Middle East and occupy it? How long would it take Turkey and Egypt to take it back? How long would it take it to form one great nation?
It depends on how motivated they are.
Yeah. We could be talking a few years. We could be talking many years.
Right. Right. And, you know, one of the suggested questions was to ask where we are on the end times clock. And the answer is really nowhere, right?
Well, one signpost is down. We have three signposts to go.
Yeah. Wow. It's such an interesting book. Like I said, it's very difficult to digest because there's so much information coming at you. And it's fun to read because it's fun to think about those things and look at the full picture. Go ahead.
I had to create a more scholarly book in order to go against the arguments of the last 18 centuries, saying the Antichrist is Roman and that there is nothing before, you know, the rapture is the next thing and that's it.
Yeah. And you said you're an engineer.
I'm an engineer. I'm a systems engineer. And my job requires...
I can tell your brain thinks like an engineer.
Yeah, my job requires me to take thousands of points of data and form a system out of it.
Yeah, very methodical.
Yeah, so it's like, yes, this work does go along with that.
Well, where can anybody reach out to you if you have, a website or somewhere that someone can reach out and contact you or social media, that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, the Thomas Nelson book doesn't come out till December 5th. So if you want the book now, and it is available now, you have to go online. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, any Christian online bookstore would have it.
And just pre-order it, right?
And just order it, and they'll ship it to you, right. I have a website, foursignposts.com, F-O-U-R, signposts, it's all one word. com, and you can go there and get my email address. You can write me. You can order the book. I follow Mideast events and show how they relate to the four signposts. And it's amazing. You know, why is Erdogan and the AKP party taking over? Why is Assad hanging on? Why are the Russians in Syria? Why is Iran doing what it's doing? Why is Egypt having this seesaw between the military? You know, el-Sisi is president. And the Islamists, all these questions, they're all supporting the signposts.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And are you like a churchgoer or do you just study the Bible or, you know, how did...
Yes, I'm a churchgoer. I've been in, you know, an evangelical Christian most of my life. And it was in 1997, though, I realized I was letting other... you know, gods come in.
Right.
And I was falling away. I was, you know, not a very good Christian. And then in 1997, Christ grabbed a hold of me and grabbed me and in no uncertain terms showed me that he had to be my God. And so I've been following him ever since, and it's been a wild ride. And like I said, 4 or 5 years later, after 9/11, he put me on this path.
It's always a wild ride.
It's always a wild ride.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Mark Davidson, the author of Daniel Revisited, Discovering the Four Mideast Signs Leading to the Antichrist. It's a great read, and thank you so much for talking to me here today.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.